the thinking of a mature man of God, the Apostle Paul, on what it meant for him to live and what it meant for him to die. And Christ has preserved these thoughts for you and for me in order that we might learn to think in the same way. Philippians 1, verses 21 to 26. The title for the message this morning is To Live or Die. What it means to the mature Christian. Paul writes, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." I often, when I come to a difficult passage like this one is, I often am reminded of the words of a young man who was headed to college 3 some years ago, young Nate Adams. And I asked him if he had one desire for me during his years at college. And he said, "I hope that you will be interesting when you preach." I'm reminded of that every time I come to a passage like this. The Bible itself is interesting. The Bible itself is interesting. And this passage is a case in point. What has God given to you here? What has He given to me? He has given to us the thinking out loud of a mature believer on what it meant for him to live and what it meant for him to die. For him to live was Christ. For him to die was gain. For him to live meant fruitful labor. To die meant to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But for him to live meant to live for the needs of the saints, for their progress and joy of faith, that their boasting in Christ might abound. This is the beautiful mind of a mature believer on what it meant for him and what it ought to mean one day for us, to live or to die. And the question is, why? Why would Christ preserve these thoughts for you? Why would He preserve them for me? For our progress and joy of faith. That's why. Christ wants you to make progress in faith. He wants you to get to the point where you see it as Paul does, so that you can then have joy in the faith. Let's look at what Paul says. This is really how all of us ought to learn to look at life and death. First, to live is Christ. Verse 21. That's what he says, right? For to me, to live is Christ. What does this mean? To live is to live no longer for me, but for Him who died for me and who rose again. This is what it ought to mean to all of us to live. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, "And He," speaking of Christ, "and He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross for us who believe in Him? Why did He do that? Was it to pay the penalty for our sins? Yes. Was it to take upon Himself the judgment that we all deserve? Yep. Was it to deliver us from the wrath of God that is soon to come? Yes. But was it so that we would be freed up to live for ourselves the rest of our days? Not according to 2 Corinthians 5:15. No, He died that those who live should live no longer for themselves. We should live for Him who died for us and rose again. Peter puts it this way. 1 Peter 4:2, "We should no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God." And then he says, because we have spent enough time already living for the will of the Gentiles. Enough of that, says Peter. We have lived long enough for ourselves and for the lusts of men. We ought to live for Christ. Jesus said, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Say no to living for himself. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, that means surrender his life to Christ, and follow me. This is the Christian life. This is what it means for the Christian to live. For Paul and everyone like him to live is Christ. Second, to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Gain is to receive the reward of that investment. That's what it means. It's a financial term. To die is to receive the reward for having lived for Christ. Paul was not investing his time, his life, his talents in things that have no eternal reward. And we ought to think, what am I investing my life in? What are you investing your time in? If God should extend your life one more year, and one year from today, we're all back here again, what will that mean for you? In what will you invest? Paul knew he was investing in things that had a reward, and therefore he says, for me to die is to see the reward. It's to see the return on my investment in the things that matter most. For Paul and for everyone like him, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We looked at those last week. Now we move on. Third, to live means fruitful labor. Look at verse 22. He says, but if I live on in the flesh, he doesn't mean if I live on in sin. Sometimes flesh refers to sin, but not here. He means if I live on in this temporary tent, this thing that is weak, this thing that is breaking down, amen. I heard a joke this week. I think it's worth saying. I asked the people for an amen. The committee's going to meet on Wednesday and decide whether to give it to me or not. I'm glad we don't live in a church like that. No, amen. This body's breaking down. We're all getting older. We're all getting weaker. We don't ski like we used to. We don't snowboard like we used to. Amen. We don't run like we used to. We're getting older. But Paul says, for me to live on any longer in this weak, temporal, decaying body, what would that mean? What would it mean for you? Here's what it meant to him. He says, if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor or fruit from my labor. Literally, it will mean fruit of labor. Two things implied. One, it'll mean labor. If I get another year or another day, I'm going to keep on doing the work of the Lord. How do I know it's the work of the Lord? He just said that for him to live is Christ. So the one thing implied here is for the mature Christian to live another year means to labor another year for Jesus. But there's another thing implied. That labor bears fruit. And he says, if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit of labor. It means I'm going to labor for the things which matter, and there will be fruit from that labor. Should we all live this way? What do you think? Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you for a purpose, that you should go and bear fruit. John 15, verse 16. John 15:16 tells us there's a purpose for which Christ has chosen his disciples. Why he's chosen you, why he's chosen me. In a word, that we would bear fruit, that we would be fruitful. This brings glory to God. For Paul and those like him, to live on another day or another year means one more day, one more year, to labor joyfully for the Lord, which is never in vain. Is there a kind of labor that is in vain? What do you think? Is there a kind of labor on the earth that is in vain? You could ask the wisest man who ever lived before Christ, excluding Christ, Solomon, who once set out to seek an answer to this question. He conducted an entire experiment, wrote a book with the findings of his experiment. He set out with one question. What profit is there to the man? What profit is there to the man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Ecclesiastes 1:3. Solomon set out with that question in mind, meaning if a man labors for himself, or a woman for herself, not for God, but for self, what is the profit to that man or that woman in the end? Well, Solomon went down that road, and as you know, he amassed a fortune. It was as if he had gained the whole world, right? In the end, then, in Ecclesiastes 1, he looked at all the works of his hands, looked at all of the houses that he had built, on all of his gardens and orchards, on all of his herds and flocks, even male and female servants and musicians. He had amassed a fortune and had become greater than anyone before him and anyone since. And here's what he says. I looked on all the works that my hands had done, Ecclesiastes 2:11. I looked on all the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity. It was all vain. There was no profit, zero. No profit under the sun. Why? Because we all die. And you can't take it with you. That's why. He said, you know, you get something for a while, but in the end, the profit is zero. He says, I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun. And here's why. I must leave it to the one who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. And yet he will rule over all my possessions. It's true. Even if you don't believe it, the fact remains the same. If you're wise, you will believe what Solomon said. If you're not wise, and if you don't believe him, and if you choose instead to labor for yourself, listen to what Jesus says. Even if you gain the whole world, but lose your soul, which you will, if you reject Christ, if you reject his way, he says, if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul, what will you give for your soul? You will have lost everything. Listen, living for yourself, for personal gain, for this world and the things of this world, is the broad way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. That's the broad way that leads to destruction. It's not the way of Paul, and it's not the way of Christians. It's not the way of those who, like him, have been turned around by Christ, right? Who have turned from living for self, who confess Jesus as Lord, who, thanks to Christ, have surrendered their lives to Christ, and who now confess him as Lord. For them, number one, to live is Christ. Number two, to die is gain. Number three, to live is fruitful labor. It is to live to do the work of the Lord. Like what? Like praying for the church and for Israel. That is the Lord's labor, which we do. It is to live to proclaim the gospel as God gives opportunity. It is to live a quiet and peaceable life, to work with your own hands, 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Only it's not for yourself that you labor with your own hands, right? You labor to provide for your family, to provide for your children, to provide for your home, and perhaps, if there's money left over, to provide for the needs of others. To live means fruitful labor, like raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, like teaching them the gospel that they might be saved, like then teaching them the word of God that they might be equipped to serve Christ. To live means fruitful labor, like serving, helping, visiting the widow and the orphan in their distress, teaching, preaching, serving, praying, building up the body of Christ. This is fruitful labor for the Lord, and it has eternal reward. Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does it mean for the mature believer like Paul to live? To live is Christ. To die is gain. To live is fruitful labor. To die is to depart and go to be with Christ. Look at verses 22 and 23. Here he's talking about what it means for him to die. He says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. You say, well, was it his choice? No. What he's saying is, you know, if you ask me to tell you what I would choose between to live another year and get to go through 2013 or to die now, I can't tell you what I would choose. If the choice was mine, I cannot tell you what I would choose. Why? Verse 23. Because I am hard pressed between the two. Between the two desires. I'm hard pressed. One desire is to live on and labor. You think Paul still had a desire to labor for Christ on the earth? Sure he did. That's a godly desire. Paul still wanted, you know, like a loving father that wants to see his kids grow up in Christ. He still had the desire to remain. He had lots of spiritual children. He wanted to see them grow. But he was hard pressed between the desire to live on and labor for Christ and another desire which also is godly. A desire to leave and go to be with Christ. He says, I'm hard pressed between the two. I'm caught in the horns of a dilemma between two desires, both of them good. One to live and labor for Christ, but the other to what? To depart. Which is a really neat word. Have you ever watched someone let a balloon loose and have it go up to the sky? That's what this word means. It means to be loosed up. Like a ship from dock to be let to set sail. Or it was used of a tent being taken down and taken away. Paul says, you know, I'm ready for this old tent to be taken down. I'm ready for this ship to set sail. I'm ready to fly away like we sing, right? One day I'll fly away. Paul says, you know, I really want that. In fact, the word he uses for desire is often translated lust. But it's not a sinful lust here. He says, I have the strong desire to depart and be with Christ, which is literally way more better. And if you were to correct him on his grammar, he'd say, don't bug me with grammar right now. It's way more better to go be with Christ. I want to depart. What about you? You ever feel that way? You know, I find that the older I get and the weaker this body gets and the more there are some aches and pains and tightness in the chest and a cough, and the more I say, you know, I'm starting to relate to Paul. I'm starting to relate. Listen, I know some of you are mature Christian saints. You can relate. You know. You have already lived and labored for Christ a long time. You love to talk about the things that you've done, hopefully not to boast in you, but to boast in what God has done with your life. And you know what Paul's saying, don't you? You say, oh, I know what that's like to want to just go and be home with Him, to see my Lord face to face. Listen, this is not a sinful desire. I had someone ask me recently, this is bad, isn't it, that I want to die? I said, no, not for you. You're ready to go to be with the Lord. This is a godly desire. I'd be worried if you didn't want to go. This is a godly desire. The older you get, the stronger it gets. Why? Because it is far better. Well, in what way would it be better to go and be with Christ? How about in every way you can think of? I don't even have to list all the ways. How about rest? We're going to rest, aren't we? We're going to rest when we go to be with Christ. We're going to have peace, aren't we? When we go to be with Christ, perfect peace. Joy. You know, if you had to pick one word that characterizes what it's going to be like to go and be with Christ, joy would be a good word. You know why? Because what did Jesus say? He said, on that day when you appear before Him, you who have labored faithfully in His vineyard, He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few. And I think that's over a few people. I already preached before on the parable of the talents is a parable about making disciples. You are faithful over the few who are entrusted to you. Now enter into the joy of your Lord. A one-word description of what it means to enter into His presence. Enter into the joy of your Master. I will make you ruler over many. And you know what? In the kingdom, we are going to rule over many. You ever long for that? That's good. And what it means for the mature believer to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To live is to labor on and see the fruit of that labor, but to die is to be loosed up from this world and to go and be with Christ. Nevertheless, to live What does that mean? Look at verse 24. Nevertheless, Paul says, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. You know what it should mean for you to live another year? It should mean for you to look out for the interests of the church. That's what it meant to Paul. For Paul to die meant gain. To die meant to go and be with Christ, which would have been far better for him. But Paul loved the church. He loved the church. And he also wanted to be with them. Take a look back up at verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. I want to be with you. But I want to be with Jesus. What's wrong with you, Paul? I'm hard pressed between the two. I want to be with you. I want to be with him. To live for the mature saint means to live looking out for the interests of the church. See how he thinks? This is how he thinks. To live, he says, for me to remain here in the flesh is more needful for you. Well, what did they need? What did the church need? What does the church need? Two words, progress and joy. That's what they needed. That's what you need. That's what I need. We need to progress to the point where we think and live like this man. Because this is how Christ thought and this is how Christ lived. We need to make progress in the faith. Verse 25. He says, being confident of this, that it's more needful for the church that I stay here than it is for me to depart now. I know that I shall remain, which means I'll still live, and remain with you. Meno and parameno. I'm going to remain, and I'm going to remain alongside you all. I'm not just going to stay here in Rome in the chains. He says, I know I'm going to be with you for your progress and joy of faith. Now, you may or may not see the kind of dilemma that's here in the text. Didn't it just seem like Paul didn't know what was going to happen? Like maybe he was going to die? Seemed that way. Doesn't it seem now like he knows that he's going to remain? Seems that way. You say, well, what changed? I don't know. And commentators spend pages, I'm not going to spend hours. Commentators spend pages talking about what might have happened. But I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of Daniel 9, where Daniel says, you know, while I was speaking and praying, and he says, yes, while I was speaking, an angel of the Lord came to speak to me. It's possible, and some have surmised, that while Paul was writing the letter, wrestling with this, you know, to die, to live, to lie, to live, to die, that the Spirit of God, as he was writing the letter, revealed to him, you know, you're going to stay. And then he said, being convinced that it's more needful for me to stay with you all, I know now that I'm going to remain with you all. Anyway, somehow, no doubt by the Spirit of God, Paul could say, I know I shall remain and continue with you all for what? Verse 25, for what? For your progress and joy of faith. Progress is advancement in spite of obstacles. Growth despite opposition. Advancement in the faith. And joy is something that comes with progress. The two go together. As you progress in your understanding of Christ, as you progress in living for Him, guess what? You experience greater joy. Both of them are the product of faith. And the main application of everything you're hearing today is very simple. Believe it. Believe it. Believe that for you to live ought to be Christ. Believe that for you to die ought to be gain if you're living for Christ. Believe that for you to live ought to be fruitful labor. For you to live another year ought to mean laboring for Christ and seeing the fruit of that. For you to die ought to mean to depart and go to be with Christ. And nevertheless, it's more needful for you to stay for the sake of the church, not for yourself. And the thing the church needs is progress and joy. Think about Paul as an example. He had progressed to the point where although he was in chains for the gospel, although you could say he'd been kind of burned, right? He kind of got burned working for the church. He's out there living his life for the church, and now where'd it get him? He's got brothers in the church who are envious of him. They want to add affliction to his chains. He's been burned by the church. He ought to be saying, that's it, man. I'm not serving anymore. I'm going to hold back. I've been burned. He's going the opposite direction, which is love. And he's saying, oh, I so much want to be with you. In fact, I'm sure I'm going to stay here with you all for your sakes, for your progress and your joy in the faith. That what? Take a look at the last verse. That your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. What does that mean? And how does it apply to your life? And I'll end with this. This is a beautiful verse. Notice he says that, or in order that. This is a purpose that Paul had for his life. It's a purpose we ought to have for ours. What's the purpose? That literally your boasting, that's the word here for rejoicing, that your boasting would abound. Well, we boast about God, don't we? We say our God is an awesome God. Paul wants boasting in Jesus Christ to abound. Only in the Greek it says that your boasting may abound in Christ Jesus in me. What? What is that? Think of it this way. There is a large sphere within which we boast about Christ. We boast about who he is, what he's done, what he's doing now, what he's going to do. We boast about his teaching. That's a big sphere. Paul saw his life as a little piece within that sphere. And what he said was, I'm going to stay with you that within the sphere of what I can do, your boasting in Christ is going to abound. See if this sounds familiar. He wanted to so let his light shine before men that they would see his good deeds and do what? Glorify the Father in heaven. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, I see a purpose of my life being to bring more abundant glorying for Christ, but it's going to be in the sphere of what I can do. I want to come to you again. I want to serve among you. I want to minister to you. I want to lay down my life for your sake so that the boasting you do and what God's doing in me is just going to go through the roof. That's a good goal for your life. You ought to want to so serve Jesus Christ and so live for him in this life that people are going to say, man, I praise God because of you. That's a godly desire. What do we do with all of this? What do we do with all of this? Paul later says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things that I have told you this morning are true. The things that I have told you this morning are noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. And there is virtue and praiseworthiness in all these things. I hope that you'll take time to meditate on these things. How do you view life and how do you view death? Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for these words of the Apostle Paul, for the mind that you gave him, the Christian mind that you gave him. And we pray, Lord, for ourselves, that you would give us this same mind. Let this mind be in us, which was in Paul and which was in Christ, that to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.